Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Kreisler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
That was a really, really good use of our time.
Good evening.
We'll get around to what that means in a moment, but wow, that was
Welcome. Spectacular. To Cheater and the Rood. I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And I'm Lee Papa.
Joining us in the studio this evening is our second ever in-studio guest, besides, of course, the spirit of Che Guevara, who's here with us every night.
It's Andrew Overton, better known as Drew.
Yay!
We all know and love him as Drew. Drew is lives in New York, and but he's an old buddy of mine from our Tennessee days.
Absolutely.
Drew's been around me for, well, with a 15-year gap in the middle.
17-year gap, 21 years.
Yeah, 21 years of friendship with only four of them counting.
Well, the break was really helpful.
Yes, I think it keeps us our relationship fresh.
They did make out on the way here, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Drew joined us. We, Jeff had was very excited that
tonight was about the ineptitude of the left. Now, look, we appreciate progressive causes. We appreciate those that try to take action on things. We don't, however, always appreciate the scheduling and the promptness, and what's another word I'm looking for? The on-time-itude?
I don't know. The eptitude.
The eptness of confidence. The left. There was, by the time it's 8 o'clock now, so it's probably happening already, going to be a protest against the Koch brothers in front of Lincoln Center at 7 o'clock. So we went there, thought we'd take part, we'd record it, maybe interview some people, play it for you here on the Progressive Radio Network. But,
alas,
7:05.
It was supposed to be at 7. We're at Lincoln Center.
7:15.
By the fountain. We're looking around, wondering what other people are there that might be
pretty
part of the protest.
Pretty girls dressed for the theater.
And a lot of people there. A
lot of people there. Why were there a lot of people there, Drew?
There were shows going on.
There was a symphony, the Philharmonic, and the ballet.
The type of people who might, you know, want to know about the patrons that they're supporting or the supporting that they're patrons.
Yes.
7:39.
But then we were wondering, well, we have a show to do. We do not want to disappoint our listeners.
7:31, time was going backwards.
Yes, yes. But it jumped ahead again.
7:42.
And we were in a cab on our way.
Yeah, that's right. We're elitist. We take cabs in New York City. What are you going to do about it? The point is, they was a great idea, an opportunity to do a thing. We won't describe what it was.
No. I'm going to sing the song.
Oh, can I sing with you?
We'll sing together. Would you like
Hold
to join?
I don't have a copy of the song.
Well, come on over here.
All right.
We'll sing in the mic together.
Let me get it.
This was going to be the song. Now, you can say what you want about the song. It's not really about the song. It's not about the song. It really is not about the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the idea of doing this at Lincoln Center. And you know why Lincoln Center?
Because it's funded by the Koch brothers, or because
yes.
Lincoln was a known corporate supporter of
corporate
power?
No, it would be because the Koch brothers have funded things at Lincoln Center. So here it's sung to a tune that I think you're all going to know. Ready? I'd like to buy the Kochs a world.
Everybody.
So they'd leave ours alone.
Boom, 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 boom.
Then go back to Park Avenue boom, and crawl boom, beneath boom, their
boom.
Stone.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'd like to teach the Kochs
about
a true democracy where working class kicks corporate ass.
Kaboom!
From sea to shining sea.
Shazam!
They're the evil thing. I'd like to give the Kochs the bird.
Make them go away.
From my whole family.
Well, this part we don't know as well, the singing.
Just keep your phony culture war.
Kaboom!
And keep your
fucking teeth. Suck
the
balls. Kochs are.
Make them go away.
They're the bad guys.
They're the evil thing.
Kochs.
jokes.
Oh.
Make them go away.
Shibbity, 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 shang.
They're the evil thing.
Everybody.
Now, that would have been, that, you know, would have been inspiring.
It would have been inspiring.
In front of all of the people in there. Hundreds of people out there.
People out to have a good time.
Dressed
people spending
to the nines,
money. People, fine looking women and men doing fine looking women and men things at a time. These are influence makers. These are the people you want to reach. And they didn't reach them.
No, it did not. If they got there after 8 o'clock, the ballet would have already started.
But they would have had a video with less people in it. So I'm sure that they can post that on the YouTube.
Yes, that would be very important. That's very important to the cause that you never actually perform in front of people, but you only post it online.
So
because
can,
that's the only fucking way you can communicate now. It's all the internet. Speaking of the internet.
It's an echo chamber, Lee. The internet is an echo chamber, and they want to put it up in the echo chamber so it bounces around, they can feel good about themselves, instead of actually confronting people who might disagree with them. I'm not really mad. It was just, it was typical. I mean, we were there, and it was, I lived in San Francisco for 5 years. This is what happens.
What's the last protest you went to, Drew?
God, 20 years.
What was it?
The University of Tennessee campus, actually.
Was it the first Gulf War?
No.
No, what was it?
No, it was students protesting against a preacher.
I remember that. Yeah.
What did the preacher do? Do you remember?
The preacher showed up on campus actually fairly frequently and had a trailer pulled up right next to the library and spoke of the evils of educating women and allowing women to work and some other things along those lines.
Yeah, and which is interesting since the New York Times today just made the first woman editor-in-chief there in their entire history, Jill Abramson.
That was this preacher's fear, and I think now we see he's justified that it would just take a generation to have women in power.
Yes. Speaking of women in power, there was a visitor to New York this week from Alaska.
Ooh.
And soon to be in Arizona, which sounds like a King Tut thing. Move from Alaska down to Arizona, Sarah Palin.
Cave of Braun.
So Sarah Palin rode her magic bus down to, she started in D.C., and she's working her way up, visiting historic sites, and writing these amazing blog posts. Have you read any of these, Drew?
I haven't.
No, Jeff, have you read any of these?
I don't read.
No? Well, here's what she said about this is what she posted today about the Freedom Trail in Boston.
Sarah Palin
posting in Boston. We visited some of the cradles of American freedom today. Old North Church, Paul Revere's home, Bunker Hill, and met many patriots, young and old. We met Augie Parziali and his family, who took us through the family business. Their bakery has been in business for more than 100 years and going strong because of hard work and determination to fight through the government's sea of red tape. That's what she learned at the bakery. She learned that the government is actually holding business back.
Well, because they're forcing businesses to stay in cradles. And businesses, as you know, operate best in buildings. But the government has deemed it that they must stay in the cradle. Mm. I got nothing on this. She just is so upsetting to me. I feel like at this point I just want to go limp and maybe play dead and the mama grizzly won't rip out my heart. Because she's going to run so she can get higher book deals and TV show fees. She's going to run, and if she wants to win, she will.
Drew just came back from Tennessee.
I did, yes.
And what is the feeling there about Sarah Palin?
Oh, they love her.
Do they?
Yeah.
Did you see any evidence of that?
Didn't they know that she caused the floods?
And the tornadoes.
Yeah, I mean.
It was there right after the tornadoes.
Yeah. She caused, my hometown area, Springfield, Massachusetts. There was a tornado yesterday.
Yeah.
She was driving through.
And Mitt Romney announced. I think there's really, it all comes together. But what do they think in Tennessee?
Well, I hadn't been back to Tennessee in quite some time, and I had some interesting conversations while I was down there. And I was walking with my father, who's a retired judge, I think, as you know.
Yes, but the people out there don't know.
Okay, my father's a retired judge, recently retired, and we're speaking about two judges that worked in his office that, while they generally agree on everything politically, my father being a liberal, that in fact these gentleman had never voted Democrat because of the gun issue.
Really?
The single issue.
Even though Democrats have pretty much been straight down the line since the Brady Bill on maybe one thing they've opposed the NRA on, and that's the assault weapons ban.
But and the NRA has convinced these guys and many others in rural areas such as Tennessee. I mean, you got a state that has 18% people on public aid, and this is what they worry about. So Sarah Palin plays well there.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Do you think, let me ask you a question, Drew. Do you think the American people are stupid or they're never given a reason to be smart? Because I've always held out that I don't necessarily want to tell people what to think, but I just hope that they do think and that obviously their conclusions might be different, that they would see issues in terms of what actually affects them, not sort of sound bites and flashy objects. And yet I'm constantly disappointed because, like you said, people are dealing with issues that don't matter, like we'll talk about later, issues that don't matter. Do you think that it's just people are dumb or just we have such relatively fulfilled lives? We go to work, we go home, we watch TV, we have kids, that we don't have to think.
We're sold on it, right? All of us. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to a lot of the issues that have come up. They're too complicated for me. They take too much time to understand, and I think when these people, and even such as myself, don't take the time to think about it. And to understand it. Some of the issues are just too complex for us, right?
Wow. Hey, I've got another passage from Sarah Palin's blog.
Sarah Palin's
from her travel blog.
While she travels around the East Coast.
Yeah. Here, let me see. This is another stop. She apparently stopped in Chicago, and she wrote, "Great Chicago glowed red before our eyes. We were suddenly on Madison Street among hordes of hobos, as some of them sprawled out on the street with their feet on the curb, hundreds of others milling in the doorways of saloons and alleys. Whoop, whoop, look sharp for old Dean Moriarty there. He may be in Chicago by accident this year. We let out the hobos on the street and proceeded to downtown Chicago, screeching trolleys, newsboys, gals cutting by, the smell of fried food and beer in the air, neons winking. First thing to do was park in a good dark spot and wash up and dress for the night. Where are we going, man? I don't know. There came a gang of young bop musicians carrying their instruments out of the cars. They piled into a saloon and we filed them. They set themselves up and started blowing. There we were. There was a slender... You know what? I don't think this is actually Sarah.
Our ghostwriter's really getting better.
Yeah, I mean, this is much better. I don't know, you know?
I lived in Chicago for 10 years. I don't remember a scene like that.
It hasn't been 10 years. It was written by Jack Kerouac.
Oh, this is
on
Jack Kerouac.
His vision of America. Jack Kerouac, as a writer, knew that you don't have to have patriot America or anti-government in every sentence.
Sarah
Palin, no understand that. Get to the chopper!
Wow, that's a throwback to last week. That's excellent.
2 weeks ago, actually. Yes. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, two
Bad
weeks ago.
Accent there. Let's do a reenactment of Sarah Palin interacting with someone in Boston in bad accent theater.
Am I Sarah Palin?
I guess so.
I guess I'm always the woman. Wait, why don't you be a Sarah Palin supporter from Tennessee that's visiting with her?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... How does the Masterpiece Theater go?
Good
evening and welcome to Bad Accent Theater. Today we will look at a scene from the recent best-selling play / cult suicide thing ever. Sarah Palin in Boston, Act 1 of 1.
Gosh, this is really a lovely town you have here. I just love your beans.
Get the car to Harvard Yard and I'll kick you in the face. Get out of here, you crazy lady.
Well, that's not really very polite. You do not seem like a really upstanding American. Why don't you help me out here?
You should really be much nicer to her.
Why is that?
She is a lovely woman and she is going to help.
Will you have some of my chowder? Have some of my chowder and I'll consider.
I would love a bowl full of your chowder.
Here.
New England chowder, I hear, is the best kind. Better than that elitist Manhattan chowder.
That's true. Our chowder is white. Their chowder is dark.
Yes. We certainly prefer white chowder to their strange mix of colors in their chowder.
Now, I understand when you're down in New York City, Yankees suck, that you
took in some pizza at a little generic place. Up here, we don't got that type of generic chowder. I lost my accent. I don't have a get to the chopper. Harvard Yard. Now we're back. Get to the chowder. Get to the chowder. The point is, Sarah Palin, another Tennessee supporter, that I... Why? How are you going to fix America besides ruining it with all your gas guzzling buses and your annoying face? I hate your face, Sarah Palin. I hate your face.
I feel as if you're sublimating a bit there.
I am. We have a lot of rage up here, a lot of pent up. We've been touched by a lot of priests. Our baseball team didn't win for a long time. And frankly, we're old-fashioned. We're the cradle of fucking patriotism up here. And you coming up here, pissing in my cradle with your old gosh golly gee. You know what? The fucking patriots, the founding father fucking fucks, the founder of this country, were smart people. There's nothing wrong with being smart. We got Harvard here. Maybe I can't get in, but I don't fucking mind them being smart over there. Smart is good, you fucking idiot. You're ruining it. Hate your face.
And scene.
That was another episode of Bad Accent Theater. Tune in next week as something happens. Katie,
I think it's time for a break. What was that? That was out of your ass. You threw at me the poop of Bad Accent Theater.
That was what happens when you have a largely conversational radio show. And that was, look, I think I was channeling something. I'm from Western Massachusetts, not Boston, but I think I really feel there's a rage that I have as someone who's a student of American history, that Palin can lay claim to the patriotism of the Revolution, because she, in many ways, is everything that the Revolution did not stand for.
But I agree. But you know what?
Let's move on.
We have a guest here.
Yes.
And Drew told me this, called me, in fact, from Tennessee to tell me this amazing story that tells you all you need to know about Tennessee. Well, Drew.
It certainly starts you on the path of all the things you should know about Tennessee. But having not been there in some time, as I had said, I flew in. And was picked up at the airport in a pickup truck and driven to the Cracker Barrel for dinner with the family.
Cracker Barrel. Right? Oh, God. Cracker Barrel, their gay-hating biscuits are the best.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And their red-eye gravy.
Oh, yes.
Phenomenal. So after dinner, it occurred to me to get a pack of cigarettes. And, you know, in New York City, it's $13, $12 for a pack of cigarettes. And
so you got a whole carton and smuggled them up here in your ass.
I know.
Sorry. Well, I'm not always dirty. I've become more dirty in this radio show because of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Why don't we let Drew continue?
Yes, I'm letting him continue.
It cost me $4 for a pack of cigarettes, and I thought, well, this is just fantastic. And the next morning, I decide that I should probably go to the gym after Cracker Barrel and the pack of cigarettes. And some shine as well, peach. And I went to the gym, and for the day rate there, it was $10 a day.
Ooh.
So for $4 a day, you can smoke and eat. And for $10, you can work out. Whereas in New York, it costs you $13 to smoke, but I pay $10 a month for my gym.
You pay $10 a month for a gym in New York City?
$10 a month for a gym in New York
City. Groupon, man.
Yeah.
Groupon.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
How long does that last?
I'll hook you up with that, all right?
All right. Well, we've got an amazing love connection, but...
So, no, it's not a love connection. He just wants the $10 gym.
No, that's a love connection.
I like to sit in the locker room.
Smell, just breathe.
I don't think there's a lot of love with that. But it occurred to me as I went into the gym and I paid my $10, and there were three other people in there, and I was by far the healthiest of the four of us, that you know, it's really indicative of...
And let me just tell you, you don't know Drew. I mean, certainly you look much better than you did a few months ago. But Drew should not be the healthiest guy in the gym. Not only is he a smoker, but, you know, he's a man that loves a good steak, let's just say.
Absolutely. And a good Cracker Barrel.
Yes, he's cherubic. Let's just go with that.
Nice, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take it.
Wow. You know, this one of my there are so many fried food buffets and things. Country Buffet.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Ryan's. I went to, in Ohio, we did a tour in 04 of Battleground States and Texas, and there was the Amish all-you-can-eat buffet. I think did I tell the story in there? I might have told the story, but basically, it was a land with like a different body shape. It was like going to an alien planet because like it was like a weeble wobble shape for the people, you know, like wide bottom, everything wide. And then they have the all you can eat buffet, and there's this like blue and white creamy thing. And we ask our waitress, "Say, what's that?" "It's dessert." "Well, what is it?" "It's dessert." "Well, yeah, but what is it?"
"Just shut up and eat the creamy thing."
That's what she was getting. And people were just coming up there looking at scooping it. Turns out, all the people were just eating and scooping the stuff without even thinking about what it was. They had a conference next door earlier in the day, and they had leftover pie, and they took the pie and they mixed it up and put it in there to give dessert to the rest of the people.
Oh,
sounds fantastic.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't even labeled dessert. It was just there. And I think because it smelled kind of sweet. People.
Sweet. Sugary.
Some cream and sugar on it.
You know what else? Go ahead.
The other interesting thing that I came across the first day I was down there was some legislation that the state was considering passing.
Here we go.
And it had to do with the constant battle there against homosexuality, and they came up with a novel new approach to combat homosexuality in the state of Tennessee, which was to outlaw using the word homosexual, fag, queer, anything in a classroom.
Do many of the classrooms talk about fags and queers?
Apparently
it's
a problem.
Cigarettes,
I think gay was actually...
Gay,
there.
Was it? No, I think it was homosexual as well.
So homosexual and gay, yes.
Regardless, it's bad.
But the idea that a state that has the highest rate of depression, has super high unemployment, has 18% of people on food stamps, and that's what they're spending.
Bread and circuses,
on.
Baby.
You know,
bread
this
and
is
circuses.
All important. This is all really important stuff you're talking about. But I think what's more important is, do you think that's Anthony Weiner's dick in that underwear?
I think it is.
Yeah, you think it's his dick?
I think it is. Yeah. Definitely.
Katie thinks it's his dick, too.
Well, Katie would know.
Oh,
he's in his demographic.
Katie, did you just say Katie knows cock? Is that what you just
whoa,
said?
Whoa. Coke was the name of the guys you were protesting earlier.
Oh, yes. Coke, cock. I get that. So you think so. You see, because this is what's really important.
It is.
It's the most important thing going on
Tennessee
right now.
Tennessee actually is proposing a new law to ban Jewish wieners.
Yes, yes. Hebrew National and Anthony.
True. At least it's like a gateway drug to saying gay in public. I don't want to leave totally, but it's bread and circuses, man. Fucking don't say gay. More people will be depressed. Sometimes I just don't. I give benefit of the doubt to the American people for not being total nimrods, and then I'm consistently proven wrong.
But You see, how did the picture get out there? How did it get out there? That's what I gotta know. I gotta know if he tweeted it wrongly, or did he tweet that very lovely, luscious college student in Seattle, or is this just another made-up thing? Is he right? Did they Photoshop it? Did he have a picture of his unerect cock in his underwear that was then Photoshopped to look like it was hard cock?
Well, look, Anthony Weiner always puts himself out as a champion for the rights of working class people, of New Yorkers, of making sure that the Zeebrugge or whatever the law against that supporting the 9/11 responders passes. So clearly he's being a hypocrite, like Ensign and like Vitter and the family values people, because, oh wait, he's not being a hypocrite. So the hypocrisy, if he actually did anything, and he actually didn't cheat on his wife, if this actually was just a picture, maybe it's just an 18-year-old joke that, you know, he is cute, and so he sent a picture of his junk. That's the worst thing that could have happened. And now there are calls from the same people who are having other senators pay off people, their colleagues, when they have affairs and refuse to resign. The Democrats, they fall on their sword quickly. And by sword, I mean their exposed dick. Because as soon as they pop that shit out, they're like, oh, sorry, got to go now, got to go. Back to
when did they become, when did they become like little Korean manservants?
Really, this is what you're getting from this? Yeah, I guess I don't know.
But you see what you did there. You see what you did there. Somebody dangled the shiny object of Anthony Weiner's supposed penis in front of you, and you just started batting at it like a cat, going, oh, I need to talk about penis, must talk about penis. Meanwhile, do you know who Anthony Weiner is investigating right now? Do you know the biggest thing he's involved in right now other than penises? He's investigating Clarence Thomas.
Oh, Clarence Thomas. Let's hear what Clarence Thomas had to say at his recent hearing. Cricket.
I can't do a fake cricket.
No, you can't. You really somewhere. Need that sound effect back.
Give it
no, no. That's the thing is he's going after Clarence. You know, not disclosing Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court justice, not disclosing that his wife worked for a political action group that actually had a stake in some of the cases that Clarence Thomas.
Gigantic. Conflict of interest.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Kagan is recusing herself left and right because she worked on cases.
But that's the thing that's so aggravating here is that, you know, here
one
we have
side
Drew.
Plays by the rules.
Here we have Drew talking about, you know, the health issues and issues of equality, and here we have Anthony Weiner investigating some conflict of interests here. And what do we do? What is going on all out there in the news? Every friggin' channel I turn on. It is Wiener Wiener all the time.
Well, look at who lost elections last fall. Alan Grayson and Russ Feingold, two of the most outspoken leftist people, because they were attacked. And Wiener has become just like that, too. So, of course, he can be attacked.
Well, and of course, it's also the slavering lapdogs in the media that are jumping on whatever little thing that Andrew Breitbart puts on there, taking that dildo of scandal and just jumping on it with their asses and pumping up and down until they get the prostate erection and ejaculation from it.
Speaking of dildo of justice, we should help break a little news that we just saw on there, because we only have a few minutes left. I personally, as a comedian and a person and a human and a man and a person, I'm very excited that according to Talking Points memo, Michelle Bachmann will participate in the GOP primary presidential debate on June 13th in New Hampshire, implying that she's going to run for president, thus making my job consist of reading what she says.
Katie, I think we need a swoosh. I think it's time for
Would You Rather?
And this is to Drew.
Our guest.
Drew. Would you rather touch Anthony Weiner's erect penis?
Erect penis.
Or Michelle Bachmann's wet snatch?
Oh, wet snatch.
Yeah.
Really?
Even though it's
absolutely.
Michelle Bachmann's
absolutely.
Wet snatch, you would rather touch that than Anthony.
Why?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
You know, what's in it? Let him. Why?
Imagine that it's a lovely snatch. Nice and wet. Yeah, come on.
He's creeping
okay.
me out.
Yeah.
Wow, he's
yeah.
very well put.
Tennessee,
I think it would bite my hand off, but okay. You know, that's just me.
All right, would you rather change the oil on Sarah Palin's buffs, or would I just what enunciation
just,
was it?
We've got two
change
minutes,
the,
go.
The oil on Sarah Palin's bus with your mouth, or ride on the roof with Mitt Romney's dog all the way to Canada.
Yeah, dog on the roof.
Dog on the roof.
Absolutely.
You know the
facing the same fate.
You
as
know the
dog
died from the ride.
It's okay.
Mitt Romney. Let's just put that out there. Mitt Romney.
And I'm talking about the motor oil on her bus, not like the oil leaking from her like devil impaired brain.
Involve my mouth in this.
Right.
Fair enough. Yeah. So you would rather die with a dog on top of Mitt Romney's family car
than change the oil on Sarah Palin's bus with his mouth. And that was Would You Rather. Would you rather?
Can we get a swoosh? And can we get, Katie, our end song?
Ladies
put it
and
on low. Put it on low. Low, low, low. Put it low.
This has been another episode of Cheater in the Rude, where we talk to you with our words. Sometimes it's well-prepared, and it doesn't go... Sometimes it's Guy flang dang dang.
Whatever, don't give me the jerk off look. With you reading your Kerouac thing over there, like, yeah, that was really self. I got no words today. I can't do any hyphenated words.
I'm Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rude Pundit. That's Jeff Kreisler. Thank you, Andrew Overton, for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.
And for calling you Andrew all the time. We'll be back next week.
Progressive Radio Network.